You enjoying this overcast weekend? Isn't it beautiful? We had our golf tournament yesterday. It was probably the best day of the summer to play golf. So cool and refreshing. Love this weather. This morning we're going to be in Philippians chapter 4. We're going to look at two verses, verses 8 and 9. So Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. The title of our message this morning is Think About It. Think About It. We go into very important territory this morning. So let's ask the Lord to help us. Father, I do pray that you would speak to us very clearly. And I pray, Lord, that you would direct us. When it comes to choices, Lord, may we choose wisely. Good influences. Things that uplift. Lord, even if you require of us the giving up of things that we've held on to for a long time, that we would be willing to do so. So that we can grow in holiness. Lord, bless this time by the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Stephen Kilpatrick wrote these words. He said, "Watch your thoughts. They become words. Watch your words. They become actions. Watch your actions. They become habits. Watch your habits. They become character. Watch your character. It becomes your destiny. What starts out as a simple thought may ultimately determine our destiny, even our eternal destiny." I do believe that. I believe that it all begins with a thought. And I am convinced that the biggest battleground in our lives as Christians lies right between our ears, in our minds, in our thoughts, what we dwell on. And it's a pretty simple formula to consider. If you have a mind that's filled with bad thoughts, if you're dwelling on bad things, evil thoughts, then that's going to translate into a bad life, a life of ugliness, a life of sin and bitterness and destruction. However, if you choose to dwell on good thoughts, good things, that will translate into a life that's beautiful, productive, satisfactory, wonderful, and musical. Very simple to understand. Good thoughts, good life. Bad thoughts, bad life. The computer programmers of yesteryear used to use an acronym to sort of describe their interaction with computers. It was the acronym GIGO, G-I-G-O. Garbage in, garbage out. The same is true of the computers in our brains. Garbage in, garbage out. Bibbo would also work. Beauty in, beauty out. So it's very important, that we win this battle in our thought life. And look at our verses this morning, beginning in verse 8. Paul writes, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do.
and the God of peace will be with you. I think the first point that needs to be made from this passage is this, and it's very, very important. Please understand it and hear it clearly and carefully. Our thoughts are a choice. We can control our thought life. You know, there are some people out there that believe that you really can't help your thoughts. They can, I just think stuff, man. I can't help it. Thoughts just come into my life and it's out of my control and I can't help it. That is inaccurate. You can think. You can control your thoughts. As a born-again Christian, you need to guard your thoughts and control them. It says right there at the end of verse 8, look at that phrase, meditate on these things. Now, in the original Greek language, that is in the imperative structure. You know what that means? That means it is a command. Paul is saying, think on these things. Think about it. Meditate on it. God does not give us commands that we have no hope of obeying. The fact that this is a command means that it's a choice. We can choose to obey this command or disobey it. We can choose to meditate on these things or not meditate on these things. It's a choice. It is under your control. The structure of this command also in the Greek is present tense indicative, which means that this is an ongoing activity. The emphasis of the command is that as Christians, we are to continually be meditating on these things. So it's on and on and on. It's not 1 hour of the day, but every hour of the day. It's not one day of the week, but every day of the week. This isn't sporadic, inconsistent thinking. It's continuous thinking. We are to continue to be meditating on these things. Paul puts it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 through 5, if you're taking notes, but I'm just going to read it to you. Listen carefully. Paul says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Listen, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That's it. For us as Christians, we are to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. That means we've got responsibility. That means we need to be aggressive. It isn't random. Thoughts come into our minds, but we take them captive. You control them. So there you are, minding your own business, and a thought pops into your mind. It's a bad thought. What are you to do with that thought? Take it captive. Neutralize that bad thought with a good thought. Tame it. Guard it. There you are minding your own business and a good thought comes into your mind. Take it. Nurture it. Feed it. Maybe you're sitting there and you get a lie of the enemy in your head. The devil whispers lies into your minds. Take that lie captive. Neutralize that lie with the truth. Don't fall for his deceitful games. There's a great example of this, and I just bring this example up because I have dealt with many Christians on this issue over the years. Satan loves to come to Christians and tell us what miserable people we are. And Satan will do that to a Christian. He'll come, whisper in their ear and say, you're a lousy person. You're a worthless Christian. You have failed. How can you call yourself a Christian? And I know lots of Christians that will fall for that. They'll say, you're right, devil. Amen, devil. And they get defeated, paralyzed, moping around, wallowing around in guilt. You know what? The truth is that all Christians are sinners whose sins have been cleansed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You are a child of God. You are His treasure. You are His joy. He died for you. He loves you. He has a plan. He has a purpose for you. Replace the lie with the truth. Take captive those thoughts. Maybe you're a Christian and you are living a defeated life. There's sin in your life and you do feel defeated. The Bible gives the pathway back to fellowship with God. Repent. Confess those sins. Return to your Lord. He'll take you back. He'll dust you off. He'll clean you up. He'll put you to a spot of usefulness once again in your life for the kingdom. Take those thoughts captive. Meditate on these things. Think about it. Maybe a temptation comes into your mind. Neutralize that temptation with the truth. Maybe you see something that tempts you or someone that tempts you. Take that thought captive. Turn away from the temptation. Martin Luther used to say, you cannot keep birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair. Turn away from those thoughts. So that is the command. Take them captive. This is something you're to do consistently. Now, I want you to notice also that this isn't a light kind of thinking. This is serious thinking, isn't it? The word that's used there in verse 8, meditate on these things. Meditate, that's a pretty serious sounding word, isn't it? Meditation. Meditate. It is serious. It's concentrated. It's focused. It's not light thinking. It's not casual thinking. We are to meditate and think long and hard about things. The Greek word translated meditate here is the Greek word logizomai, from where we get our word logic. It's a mathematical term in the Greek. It's a term of accounting in the Greek. You ever watch somebody doing algebra? An algebra problem? Are they just... Or are they... They're focused, aren't they? They're down. They're engaged. That's the type of thinking. Focused. Concentrated thinking. One Greek scholar translates it this way. Give careful, prayerful thought to a matter. Careful reflection. Focused, concentrated thinking. Reasoning. Long and deep thinking. That's the word here. It's interesting. It's used in one story in the life of our Lord in Mark chapter 11, this word. There was a time when Jesus was in Jerusalem with His disciples, and it was Passion Week, and you remember all the religious scribes and Pharisees were testing Him, trying to get Him all trapped in words. Well, one time they came up to Him as He was walking by the temple, and it says the chief priests, the scribes, the elders came to Him, and they said to Him, by what authority are You doing these things, Jesus? And who gave You this authority to do these things? Who gives You the authority to do what You're doing? They asked Him. Jesus answered and said to them, I will ask You one question, then answer Me, and I will tell You by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men? Answer Me. Well, the Scripture goes on to say, they huddled up and they reasoned among themselves. If we say from heaven, He'll say, well, why did you not believe in Him then? And if we say from men,
They feared all the people because the people thought he was a prophet. So they huddled, thought, reasoned about it, and they finally came to Jesus and said, "We don't know." And Jesus said, "I'm not going to give you your answer then."
But that picture of religious scribes huddled up, weighing all these different sides, reasoning, deep thinking, that's this word. That's the command. Brother and sister in Christ, consistently think long and hard and deep about good things. Chew on it. Turn it over in your mind. Weigh it. Memorize it. Fill your mind with it. Very important. Two questions before we move on. I'll just ask you straight out. Do you take time to think anymore? I mean, really think. Don't you think? I think we live in an ADD society. Everything is so fast. Everything is so crazy. Distractions, tweets, all this stuff that's happening, it's so fast. Do you sit down and think anymore about anything? Do you meditate about things? Do you meditate about the truth? I really believe that as Christians, we should do that. We should make the time in our lives to sit quietly before the Lord and not just think, but prayerfully reflect on life, on truth. Oh, what wonders that would do. Let me ask you a second question before you go on. I know it's a lot of distraction and there's a lot of things going on, but you don't think in a vacuum. Thoughts do come into your mind, and there are all kinds of things that are seeking to fill your minds. What, as a Christian, are you allowing into your brain? What are you digesting intellectually, consistently? What are you taking in? What are you watching? What are you reading? Who are you listening to? What information are you allowing in? You have a choice on that matter. Paul said in Romans chapter 16 to Christians, he said, "I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil." We are to be sophisticated when it comes to good and innocent when it comes to evil. But too often, more people today in our culture are sophisticated in evil and simple-minded when it comes to good. For as Christians, that is the other way around. And that means really guarding what you allow in, taking steps. So, in verse 8, Paul gives us a list of good things that we can put in our minds. And I want you to notice a few things about this list generally. I want you to notice that there are 8 words. There are 8 head words, if you will, headings. True, things that are true. Noble, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtue, praiseworthy. Those are all head words. And then I want you to notice that under each one of those headings, you have a plurality of things that you can think about. What does it say? Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble. So 8 categories and several things with under each category that you can think of. I just point that out to you to let you know that there's a lot of material out there that you can dwell on. There's a whole smorgasbord of beautiful, truthful things that you can put in your mind. If you choose not to meditate on these things, it's not due to lack of material. It's due to your laziness, your immaturity, your indiscretion.
So let's look very briefly at these categories. And you'll notice that there are some overlap between them. First on the list, finally, brethren, whatever things are true. Think about those things. Meditate on those things that are true. Now, there's several ways to think of this word true. It obviously speaks of the opposite of lie, the opposite of falsehood. As a Christian, you are to meditate, think on the truth. Now, the world, under the influence of the devil, has put out all kinds of false philosophies, concepts, ideas. And it's important as Christians that we are familiar with the lies so that we can speak with intelligence about them. But you don't dwell on them. What do you dwell on? The truth as contained in the Word of God. Now, this word true also refers to something that is real, genuine, not imaginary, not dreamed up. The real thing as opposed to imaginary. Now, understand, and this is important, there are a lot of people who live in a fantasy world. They live in a dream world. They spend a lot of time thinking about imaginary things. There's a lot of people that think about how they're going to spend all that money when they win the lottery. They even budget it out. So-and-so would get this. That person, I wouldn't give him anything. You know, you just go through the list. How are you going to spend that? And it's kind of an imaginary thing. People live in an imaginary get-rich world sometimes in their thinking. Or people live with this fantasy or how life could be. What would life be like if I were married to someone else? Well, if only this could happen. Meditate on what's real. Meditate on the truth. Meditate on the real circumstances within your life. How to legitimately provide for your family. How to make that marriage work. The genuine. Another way to think of true is the idea that it could be speaking of something that's honest and reliable. Meditate on those things that won't let you down. Meditate on those things that are reliable. Anything that's true, anything that fits in that category, think on these things. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble. Now, I love this word, noble. This is the Greek word semnos, and it's only found four times in the New Testament. Three times it's translated reverent. One time it's translated noble. Other translations of the Bible translate it as honorable. Listen very carefully. This word simply refers to those things that are dignified. I like that. Those things that have dignity to them. Things that are worthy of respect. Things that have weight. Things that are of substance. Brother and sister in Christ, don't waste time thinking about worthless stuff. Stuff that doesn't have any weight to it. Stuff that's vain. The psalmist says in Psalm 119, turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things. And there are a lot of worthless things in our culture, in our society. Vain things.
I would ask you, as a brother or sister in Christ, what are you reading? Gossip magazines? Trashy novels? Is that really worth your investment of time? What about some of the greats of literature? The classics? Aren't those more weighty? Make a choice. How are you going to spend an hour? What do you watch on TV? Soap operas? Gag. Silly shows? Mindless shows? Vain shows? Now, I'm not a preacher that says, throw out your TV. And I know preachers that do that, and I think they live in an unrealistic world. We have TV. We have media. We have things. What about dignified entertainment, brother and sister in Christ? What about entertainment that has weight to it? Substance to it? Have we grown up? Can we discern? Can we figure out what's the difference? You got a couple hours to spend, and you want to spend it either watching Fiddler on the Roof or Beavis and Butthead. Which should you pick? And that's the idea. It's a choice. Choose things that are worthy of respect, noble, high, lofty things. Continuing in the list, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just. This is the Greek word diakos, and it is translated most often in the New Testament as just or righteousness. This would speak of the righteous standards of God. The things that God declares righteous and good and true, that which is right. My brother and sister in Christ, meditate on things that are righteous. Put all that in your mind. Not wickedness. Not perverted stuff. The righteous ways of God. And you know, can we still find any resemblance of righteousness in our culture? Well, it's very hard to find it, isn't it? It's out there. You can find it. There's good righteous stories. But let's just be honest. Most of the stuff out there is a cesspool. In fact, many of the movies out there are dark on purpose to be more shocking. To draw society more and more into a weird place. Perverted place. Dwell on those things that are just. Whatever things are just, whatever things are pure. As Christians, we are to dwell on pure things. Hagnos in the Greek, oftentimes translated holy, blameless, innocent. One of the translations is clean, and I like that. As Christians, we are to meditate on clean things. Good, clean, fun. Clean material that uplifts the spirits. This word pure is used many times in the New Testament in a sexual context, speaking against sexual immorality, and it speaks of being modest, chaste, innocent. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2, Paul says, I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. That's the purity, a pure virgin to Christ. Titus chapter 2, verse 5, speaking of Christian women, they're to be discreet, chaste, innocent, that is modest, pure sexually. Now let me speak to my brothers. This is an area that many men struggle with. You are to take those thoughts captive. You are not to allow your minds to be filled with sexual lust. You should certainly stay away from any pornographic image. Anything that you might see that would excite that part of you.
You say, well, Pastor Terry, there's a lot of beautiful women out there and I see them every day.
Okay, you can't help the first look. But you can't help the second and third looks. You can help the gawkings. It's a battle. Take those thoughts captive. I love the story of two monks who were on a pilgrimage and they came to the ford of a river. There they saw a girl dressed in all her finery, obviously not knowing what to do since the river was high and she didn't want to spoil her clothes. Without much discussion, one of the monks took her on his back, carried her across, put her down on the dry ground on the other side. The monks then continued on their way, but the other monk started complaining, surely it isn't right to touch a woman. It's against the commandment to have close contact with women. How could you go against your rules as monks? The monk who carried the girl walked along silently, but finally he remarked, you know, I set her down by the river an hour ago. Why are you still carrying her? Take those thoughts captive. Meditate. Dwell on things that are pure, clean, chaste. Whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely. Now, I love that word lovely. It's a lovely word, that word lovely. This is the only time this word shows up in the New Testament. Prosphales is the Greek word. It comes from two words, prophileo. The idea is anything that is lovely is that which calls forth love. That which excites love. That which is love-inspiring. The idea is it's that that's something that you just find attractive and it's beautiful and you appreciate it and it's pleasant. It's like looking at a sunset and saying, oh, how lovely. It's like looking at a work of art and say, oh, how lovely. Not, oh, how shocking. There are lovely things out there. There are pleasant things. There are pleasing things. Whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report. I like this one. Think about things that are of good report. This is the idea of filling your mind with things that are positive, that are fair sounding, good news about people rather than bad news, positive stories rather than negative stories. As Christians, we are to fill our minds, dwell on the good things about people, not the scandals, not the ugliness, not the failure. And it's unfortunate, but we hear so much of that in this society, don't we? That's the news. Gossip in the church is a huge problem. Bunch of Christians talking about the dirt on someone else. Don't dwell on those things. Fortunately, it's so easy for us to do that. It says in Proverbs chapter 26, verse 22, that the words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles. They go down into the inmost body. Henry Fielding used to say, love and scandal are the best sweeteners of tea. People get together, they have tea, and they talk about the dirt, the scandal. We really need to guard our minds from that. Keep the dirt out.
Think about good things. All those things that are of a good report. Meditate on those things. If there is any virtue, moral excellence, holiness, if there is anything praiseworthy, that would speak of anything that you could praise, anything that's commendable, anything that you would love to go out and tell everybody else about, something that's positive, something that's commendable, somebody's accomplishments, somebody's sacrifice, something good. Share those things. Think on those things. The heroes, not the villains. The people that are doing good things with their lives, not the ones that are destroying their lives and the lives of others. Meditate on these things. Think about these things. There's eight categories right there. Going on, look what he says in verse 9. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Now, I think that is one of the most amazing verses that Paul the Apostle ever wrote. Do you hear what he's saying? What you've seen me do, you do the same thing. He is so confident in his walk with Jesus Christ that he can say to others, follow me as I follow Jesus. What an example he is. Parents, can you say that to your kids? What you see in me and hear and those things do. We should be able to say that as Christian parents. But what does he say? He says, these things which you learned and received and heard. What did Paul teach them? What did Paul say to those people? Doctrine, didn't he? He gave them Bible doctrine. He gave them the truths that we now find contained in the written Word of God. So, meditate on what? The Bible. Oh, as a Christian, the best way to fill your mind with good things, noble things, lovely things, righteous things, things of good report, is to fill your mind with Scripture. Take time to not only read the Bible, but meditate on it and memorize it. And that would definitely be one of those things that I would recommend we do daily. Take that time to think. To meditate, to memorize. Psalmist says, how can a young man keep his way pure? How can a young man keep from sin? By living according to your word, O Lord. And then he writes, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. It's one of the best ways to neutralize lies. In fact, how did Jesus neutralize the lies of the devil when he was tempted? With Scripture. With the word he quoted. These things that you have learned and received from the Word of God. And then notice what else he says. The things that you saw. Paul was a pattern saint for those Christians at Philippi. He was a good example. He was a role model. He was a guy that you could study and learn from and take of and think about. Pattern saints. Good brothers and sisters in Christ, their stories. Think about such things. One of the best things I believe that we as Christians can fill our minds with is the stories of other Christian men and women who have gone before. We call those Christian biographies. There's a lot of them. Good reading. Good, solid men and women of God who've lived in history and have gone through challenges and yet have conquered challenges and have been through all kinds of things. And you can read their stories and find out how they depended upon God. Oh, good material there. Good stuff there.
Many of you know that Kim and I, we homeschool our kids. And what's kind of fun about homeschool is you get to sort of relearn a lot of the things that you forgot. And so we've been going through the American history and the various things that you study in history and society and culture and whatnot. And just wonderful, wonderful books, good biographies. Kim found a series. It's a 5-book series, and all the books have titles that sort of go like this. 10 Boys That Changed Their World. 10 Girls That Changed Their World. 10 Boys Who Made History. And they're short stories, but they're true stories about godly men and women like George Mueller. Great stuff. Great material. Feed your mind. Stories about Wycliffe, Spurgeon, George Eliot, Livingston. Lots of material out there. I look at all of this stuff and I look at this list and I see that there's a lot of material, isn't there? Things that are true, things that are noble, just, pure, lovely, good report, praiseworthy. Virtuous. And I can think of a whole lot of things that would help us. You know who you could dwell on all the time and you'd be just great? Jesus. Doesn't Jesus fit the bill here? Isn't he verse 8? True, noble, lovely, just, pure. Oh, brother and sister in Christ, spend a lot of time thinking about Jesus in His Word, enjoying His company with you all day long. And then, as we've said, the Bible, the Word of God, spending time in the Bible and feeding on it. And then what about our culture, the society in which we live? Again, I don't think we throw out everything. I'm not for that. But I think that we become very wise in what we choose from culture to look at, to read, to take in. Meditate on these things. Think on these things. And my friends, if we do that, if we take that time, if we make that effort, our life will change. There's a wonderful verse that Paul gives to us in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. This is another verse that you would memorize, I would hope, eventually as a Christian, but I'm just going to read it to you. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but listen, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We can be transformed. How? By the renewing of our minds. Great. How do we renew our minds? By filling it with good stuff. And in particular, and in specific in that verse, the Word of God. It'll transform you. Going back to that quote that I began with this morning, it all does begin with a thought. And that works its way outward until it affects your life. And you know what, folks? We really are what we think. We become what we think about. We engage in those things that occupy our mind. Emerson said, a man is what he thinks about all day long. Marcus Aurelius said, a man's life is what his thoughts make of it. What about Solomon, King Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived? Proverbs chapter 23, he says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. So fill your mind with good stuff. I ask you, what are you learning from this passage right here, from our time together right here?
I ask you to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit in your life. I'm not going to sit up here and tell you what you can and cannot watch. But I would ask you, are there some things you need to change? Are there some influences that you need to replace? Do you need to make the time to sit down and think and pray? Do so. There's real steps that we can take here. And I would also like to say to my brothers and sisters in Christ here this morning, this is an area in our lives where we can help one another. We hang out together. A bunch of us played golf yesterday together. We go out and we do things together. Listen, when you're hanging out with Christians, where do you direct the conversation? Can we direct it to things that are more noble? More nourishing? Does it always have to be light? What about noble things? And as we go out and we hang out together and we go out and we take in shows or concerts or theaters, movies, what do you pick the good ones? The ones that have substance. We can help each other, can't we? Before I close, let me give one exhortation to the parents here. Especially if you're a parent of small kids, small children, six and under. Get them young. Get them young, man. Fill those kids' minds with good stuff. Don't let the DVD player raise your children. Please don't let Disney Channel raise your kids. Get with them and read them stories and tell them about the Lord and read the Bible and pray together and sing together. And teach them to learn to appreciate stuff that's really beautiful, lovely, good. One author asked the question, is Satan actually interested in the childhood years? After all, children from birth to six could not be of any real threat to him and his forces of darkness, or could they? Scripture tells us that Timothy, while still young enough to have to be fed, dressed, and carried, knew the Holy Scriptures. He had an experiential knowledge of them. They meant something to him. Samuel's heart was already submissive at weaning when taken to the temple to serve God. John the Baptist leaped in the womb at the presence of Jesus in Mary's womb. It's been said, give me a child in the first 6 years of his life and you can do what you will with him thereafter. It is during that short period that the bulk of a child's personality, character, habits, and intellectual makeup is established. The battle lines and the warfare for our children's souls are clear. Fill them. Expose them to good things. Those that are over the age of six, maybe teenagers in the home, I ask you directly, teenager, what are you putting in your mind? What are you putting in your mind? Is it godly? You have a choice. Garbage in, garbage out. Beauty in, beauty out. Father, thank you that you do give us, Lord, so much material that we can dwell on. And it's beautiful and it's uplifting and it's challenging and it's exciting and it's inspiring and it's motivating. Lord, I pray that all of us, Father, all of us, would win that battle. Help us, Lord, to discern.
In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Stand with me, my brothers and sisters in Christ.